turn down the lights back there. We got all the lights set right. God is awesome. How many are glad to be here today? How many are glad that we serve a living God? We don't serve a God that's dead and in the tomb. We serve a God that's alive and well. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. How do you know He's alive? Because we spoke to Him this morning. How about you? Amen. He's alive. Praise the Lamb of God. Now we're gonna go into our rest of our service. How many's ever seen The Passion? Okay, it's kind of gory, so I just want you to know that The Passion is going to be a little bit of The Passion, not much. But I just want you to know that I'm telling you ahead of time, so you can say, I wish you had warned me before we started. So there's a little bit of The Passion going to be shown from the cross, so just know that ahead of time. Now, we're talking tonight, today, on seven sayings or seven words from the cross. When you think about your seven words from the cross, it's a very powerful, powerful, powerful thing. How many knows that God didn't mix words? I mean, if you look in the Old Testament, you say, well, God only opened one Red Sea and God only did this and this and this and only was in the furnace that one time. No, he's in this all the time with us, but He records it one time because He doesn't have to mix His words. He can show you and tell you, and you have to take it by faith. Amen? And so when He was on the cross, it was something special. Matter of fact, this moment, the cross, was a moment that would forever change humanity. All these other gods that everybody wants to worship, none of them gave their life for us. None of them went to a cross and none of them rose from the grave. Only Jesus Christ. Amen? It was there that the sin of mankind meant God's redemption. Amen? Aren't you glad that your sin meant God's redemption on that cross? Amen? This is one of my favorite. Yeah, come on, that's right. Well, one of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 85 and 10. And if you have never thought about this, I want you to understand, Psalm 85 and 10 is a perfect description of the cross. For it says, mercy and truth are met together. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. The truth is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth is we all deserve punishment. The truth is that we need to be on that cross. The truth is we deserve hell. But mercy is withholding what we deserve. Amen? And so we don't need what God has already taken care of it for us. Amen? So mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness, God's way, God's power, what God calls right, has met with peace. And now because God has died on that cross, now we have peace. Amen? So we're going to start out. We're going to be going back and forth into the video, so just know that ahead of time. Amen. So here, let's go ahead and go. Go ahead and start it.
You come to me with scars on your wrist. You tell me this will be the last night feeling like this. If I'm not touching you alone, nothing in the eyes, so I know you know I'll never let you in. You want me to be the transgressions, He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the lives that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved.
Jesus was the most controversial man in history. You can mention right today, you can go in schools and mention Buddha. You can mention Muhammad. You can mention any kind of other name you would like to, but when you mention Jesus, people began to get uneasy. When you begin to mention him and his cross, people began to squirm. People began to get filled with hate. Talk about the other guys all you want to, and it's your right. Talk about Jesus, and you cause a problem. Jesus, the most controversial man in history. He was a man of extremes. He was the Son of God, and he's also the Son of Man. Does that even make sense? The Son of God, the Son of Man. You got to think about something. The only person that would be willing and the only person that would be able together to pay the price of sin would have to be innocent and spotless. So it had to be the Son of God. But the only way he could pay the price, because God can't die. The only way to pay the price is he had to be the Son of Man. So he was 100% God, and he was 100% man. Again, the Bible calls him the Lamb, and it calls him the Lion. When he came to earth the first time, he came in a manger. He was the Lamb. He could not be slain as the Lion. He had to be slain as the Lamb. Even here, you see that he was quiet before his tormentors. When he comes back as the Lion, he's not coming back in a manger. He's not coming as a little baby. He's coming in the clouds with the vesture dipped in blood. And when he comes back the second time, Satan's going to raise all grades of Cain. But you know what? He will lose. He will lose. He will lose. Praise the Lamb of God. Yeah. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ, he's here now. He'll be here when everything's over. God is in control. But it was hard for these guys to understand this. You see, it was hard for the earthly minded. It was hard for the righteous minded. It was hard for the political minded to understand the concept of the Son of God, the Son of Man. What they saw him as was the carpenter's son. And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. His own people did not believe in him until after he rose. His own brothers did not believe in him until after he rose. They thought that he was just the carpenter's son, if they only knew.
It's your baby boy,
they'll walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy would come to make us new? The child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storms with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy is walked where angels cry? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the dead will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap and the dumb will speak. Praises of my Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping little baby is the great and I. The great I am. Mary, did you know?
Wow, praise God. Can you imagine holding the great I am in your hand? But the greatest question today I'm asking you, does the great I am hold you in his hand? Wow. You see, yes, Jesus was controversial. So controversial that the only thing they needed to do to get rid of him was to kill him. So they took him, and you saw the scourging. Pilate said, well, I don't need to kill him, so I'm going to scourge him. There's two forms of capital punishment. Scourging, if you survived it, you could walk away. The crucifixion, you were nailed to a cross, you were condemned. So Pilate, in an effort to save his life, had him scourged. But the scourging was not enough. They wanted him out. You know, it seemed like death upon the cross would be the end of him. It would finally steal his voice and end his message. They didn't know that in a matter of 50 days, there would be 120 voices. And in a matter of a few weeks, there'd be 5,000 voices. They had no idea that the voices would just keep multiplying and multiplying. And if you've told anybody ever about Jesus Christ, you're one of those voices. Praise God. Amen. Yes. They had no idea that they were only making him stronger. The cross did not silence him, even in the darkest hours while he was dying. Lasted 6 hours on that cross. He actually had bled all of his blood out. Again, according to Scripture, with the sacrificial lamb, all the blood was gone. But as he was dying on that cross, beat beyond an inch of his life, there were 7 words that rang through the ages. They even ring now.
Feel pain and crushed for our sins, the punishment. Thank you. peace was upon him.
And by his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These are words of sovereignty. This is the Son of God put on this cross, the Son of God. And as he lie on this cross, here they are. There, first off, it's an unnatural request. Unnatural because anybody in this situation will be crying out, get them. This is wrong. I have been done wrong. This has not been done right. But no, this is an unnatural request because the Son of God, being done wrong, still asks them for forgiveness. It's an unselfish request. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. How about you? When I was going to college, they said to write down anything you're allergic to. I wrote down pain. I don't like pain. But Jesus, it was an unselfish request. He knew that it was going to be coming. And it was an unhindered request because you know what? Satan tried his best to shut him up. I'm not sure Satan even knew what he was doing. The Bible said that the people didn't. I don't even believe Satan knew what he was doing because if Satan had known, he would not have done it. And so, but now it's an unhindered request because now when he cries, Father, forgive them, something special is taking place and Satan cannot stop it. If you've got a need today, you can go to the Lord and He can help you. And He can do something for you even if Satan is fighting you tooth and toenail. Jesus Christ is unhindered in His ability to touch you today. Amen? Amen. That's right. That's right. Go ahead. And it's words of sincerity also because He knew men was ignorant. Amen? He knew that. If they had known what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. They were indifferent. I guarantee you, some of you in here are in here because you were dragged and kidnapped. I mean, here we're kidnapped and brought here today. Don't raise your hand. Very first time I went to church to shut my wife up. I said, if I go, will you shut up? And she said, yes. And I said, are you sure? She said, I'm sure. I said, then I'll go. And when I got in there, something special happened to me that day. He also knows a man's inadequacy. Again, mercy and truth met together, righteousness and peace kissed each other. I like this little saying. Our greatest need. Everybody in here, we all got a great need. Amen. Watch this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, God would have sent a scientist. Amen. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us a banker. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. Amen. Go ahead and thank the Lord for that. I buried somebody not long ago. And the mama looked at me and she says, I don't know if there's any hope for my son. And I said, why not? And she said, well, he asked God to help him before he died, but we never got him to a body of water and baptized him. And I said, sister, is that your biggest concern right now? She says, yes. She says, I don't know where he's at. I said, he's safely in the arms of God. She said, but he didn't find water. I said, but he found the living water. And she said, well, he's not been baptized. And I said, hold on. I said, you remember the story of those three crosses? Did God tell that guy, or Jesus tell the other guy today, once you climb down off this cross, go find another priest to baptize you, come back up and get on this cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. He said, today. Somebody say today. Today thou wilt be with me in paradise. It's the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ alone. Amen? So now watch this now. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. God is an ordinance. An ordinance meaning it's something that God said to do to show the world what He's done for you. So now watch this. There's three crosses that day. On those three crosses, watch this. On those three crosses represents three events. It also represents three attitudes. Now, the first is redemption. The second is rejection. And the third is repentance. Redemption, rejection, and repentance. In this church today, there's redemption. There's also, listen, there's repentance and there's rejection. Amen? But you think about this now. Look, both thieves, in the beginning, the Bible says both thieves mocked Him. But then there was a change. Not with one thief, but the other. To begin with, both thieves mocked Him and rejected Him. And then one thief begins to look and think, and he begins to think about what he did, and then to think about what he did. And so, wow, by the time Jesus says these words, there's the rejection. He only wanted to escape his temporary pain. He said, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and save us. Get us off this cross. So the first one only wanted removal from this temporary pain or escape. The second one wanted to escape eternal pain. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now again, this is so awesome. The words of hope. How many in here has ever known a really, really bad dude? How many sitting beside him? No. How many has ever known a really, really bad dude? Chuck Norris wears his pajamas, his picture of his pajamas. He's working at night. Picture that bad dude on his pajamas. Do you know you never can be too bad for Jesus to save you? It calls him a thief, but also calls him a malefactor. Malefactor didn't mean that he was one awesome dude. Malefactor, back in that day, the meanest of the mean, the baddest of the bad. They wouldn't even put them in F block at Pitt Detention Center. These are some bad dudes. Many guys, when they were caught doing bad things, they were sent in exile, and they lived on the Isle of Patmos. If they survived that, they could come back out of exile, and they'd be fine. Some of them were even sentenced to prison, and they would pull their prison sentence, and they would come back to society. But a malefactor was so mean and so bad, the only punishment suitable for a malefactor was death. That's it. So these two guys on the cross, they didn't just get caught for stealing bread. They didn't get caught for stealing somebody's horse. These were some mighty, mighty bad people. And this person, this malefactor, asked God to remember him. He didn't have a fancy, he couldn't quote the Bible. He couldn't do all this fancy stuff. His hands, he couldn't even get on his knees. His hands were put up here. His feet were down below. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, today, thou'll be with me in paradise. Words of hope. You can never be too bad that God cannot reach out and save you. Amen. There's hope for everybody you know. You can never be too bad. Number two. This tells me it's never too late. This guy was in a couple hours of his death. And he asked Jesus to forgive him. And Jesus did. Wow. But then Jesus goes further.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. One. God.
Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. In other words, he gave the responsibility of watching after his mother to John, the only disciple that was there. The rest of them were hid. I began to think about this. I want you to think about something. He gives his mother the responsibility of taking care of his mother to one of his disciples. Here's my question. Mary had four of the sons, James, Josie, Simon, and Judas. Where were they? Well, come on, y'all. He had four brothers. They knew the pain that his mother was going to be experiencing. Even if they didn't believe in Jesus at the time, They should be loving their mother. Where are they? Some of y'all in here right now, you may have gone through some intense pain and you're thinking that somebody around you, your friends, your family, your brothers, your sisters, whoever, they would understand and they would be there to help you. They would be there to comfort you. They would be there to do anything they can to make it easier to help you bear the pain. You wonder, where are they? Where'd they go? Where's all the help? You see, that's one thing that amazed me. And another thing that amazed me, instead of being consumed with his own pain and misery, Jesus was more concerned with the people around him. Jesus, in his worst hour, of course you know it was his finest hour, but he's more concerned about his mother on Planet Cross than the rest around. Let me tell you something, Jesus cares for you. He cares so much for you that he would be up on that cross if you were the one that nailed the nails in his hands. Let me change that. Our sin nailed the nails. So do you know something? Guess what? We did nail him up there. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, there is a man hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So today, let me tell you, if you're going through something, you're trying to figure out why nobody else around you can understand you, and you can't figure out why anybody else around you don't quite get the concept of the pain that you're going through, or they're making light or little of what you're going through, and you're needing somebody to actually show you that they care. Right here, the cross shows up. There's somebody that can feel your pain. Not just sympathize, he can empathize. He can feel your pain. And he'll be there.
Love you! Love you! I'm myself a dead man.
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's at this moment in time, this is probably the greatest horror of the cross for Jesus. It was bad enough to be beat within the inch of your life. It's bad enough to have your bones being exposed, your organs being exposed. It's bad enough that you're put upon this cross naked before the world and gangrene is already sitting to your hands and your feet. It's bad enough you can't even breathe upon this cross. But the worst thing for Jesus in all of this was the separation between him and his Father. Think about this. At this moment, the Father placed on him the sins of humanity to be paid for, to break the chain. It's at this point, he took your sin and placed them in Jesus. It's at this point now that he's bearing this pain of sin. How many of you know the pain of sin? Any of us in here knows the pain of a personal sin, but how about the pain of everybody's sin thrown on you at one time? And then God can't even look. So he turns his back on his own son for the first time in eternity. And for the last time, he turned his back. You see, the power of sin, number one, it separates. It separates us from God. Not only the power of sin separates us from God, but the power of sin also separates us from each other. Attitudes and things that we do and sins that we commit will separate us from each other. Separate us from the truth. Separate us from answers. But it also invites. It invites Satan and invites all the junk he's got to bring to make life worse on you. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, for we have a high priest of ours. He understands our weaknesses, but he faced all the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we can find grace and mercy in our time of need. I thank God that he was willing to take this for me. Amen. Amen. Loneliness, all right?
Somebody.
I'm thirsty. Now you got to understand this whole thing here. At one time during the cross, they tried to give him vinegar mixed with gall. Vinegar mixed with gall is actually a narcotic. There was a society of women that went to every crucifixion and they made this concoction with vinegar, which was a sour wine. Vinegar and water is a sour wine. And they put this gall in it. And they were there to show mercy to the people that were dying on the cross. And they would give them this concoction so they could bear the pain. The cross is the worst form of execution known to man at that time. And these ladies were there, the society of ladies, and they would give this to the guys or whoever was dying on the cross to deaden the pain. And Jesus refused it. Jesus said, I want to feel death in its worst terror for you so that you won't ever have to say, I don't have somebody that doesn't know what I feel like. He does. But now it's toward the end. And now they offer him the vinegar, which again was the drink of the Roman soldiers. It was vinegar mixed with water. It was a sour wine. Why did Jesus say he's thirsty? He refused the wine the first time. We know why, because he wanted to feel death. But why now? Here, I'll show you. You see, this is near the end. He's already endured and overcome the heat. Pain, rejection, loneliness. Some of these guys sat on the cross for days before they died because they weren't whipped like he was. Remember, he had both forms of capital punishment. All the other guys just had one form. Rejection, loneliness, living water was now thirsty. Wow. For us. The living water was now he says, knowing that all was accomplished, and so that the scripture will be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. See here, knowing that all was done, and that the scripture be fulfilled. When John the Baptist went to baptize Jesus, and John the Baptist said, you need to baptize me, not me baptize you. And he says, no, you baptize me to fulfill all righteousness, or that the scripture be fulfilled. Right now, if you look here, I'll show you here. This phrase points to first his humanity. Being 100% man and 100% God, the 100% man in him was thirsty. He was dehydrated. His blood was almost drained out of his body. The 5 liters of blood is almost gone out of his body. His lungs are filling up with some other type of fluid by this point. It's hard for him to even breathe. To breathe, what you do is you had to push up on your feet to get a breath and let go of your feet. And had a pressure on your hands just so you could even get the words out to breathe. And so here he is going through this. He's thirsty, but also divinity, knowing that all was completed. Psalm 69:21 says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. God fulfilled every prophecy to that cross. That day, none went unfinished. It is finished. The word of Christ on the cross is not a cry of defeat. It's one of triumph. He triumphantly announced to all to hear. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he cried with a loud voice. Now remember, his lungs are filling up with body fluids, what's left of body fluids. And you'll find out when they stick the spear in his side and it comes out blood and water, because now his lungs are filled up with water and the blood is going out of his body. But he cries with a loud voice. Now remember now, he can't even been on there for 6 hours. It's almost impossible to talk. And he says, It finished. Jesus had completed the work that he came to do. It was not the cry of a defeated martyr, but a victorious conqueror. It's the same I told him last week here. When a general was on a hill watching his troops, when he saw them winning the battle, he would turn to the other troops and he would holler, "It is finished!" Meaning we have won the battle. It also means the levy was paid. There may be somebody in here right now. How many has ever done anything you wish you hadn't done? Amen. How many's ever paid for the same sin twice? Let me ask you a question. Nobody looking. Matter of fact, you ain't got to raise your hand now. Please don't raise your hand. And don't point. Yeah, please don't point. We have marriage counseling 101 right over there after this. How many, even after you ask God to forgive you, you're still torn up inside over what you did? And every day to your life, you have misery over what you did. Don't raise your hands. Don't point. I'm here to tell you something right now. When he said, "It is finished," he said, "I paid the price." So you know what? Give it to him. You're not big enough to tote this. You're not strong enough to tote this. Give it to him. And every time the devil tries to throw it back in your face, you just say this, "It is finished." Y'all do that with me. "It is finished." Next time the devil says, "Oh, it's going to happen to you again," what you going to say? "It is finished." Next time the devil tells you it's so bad you'll never be able to get over this, "It is finished." The next time you try to walk and the devil says, "Do you remember what you did last week?" "It is finished." Amen. Praise God, it's finished. Okay,
wait. Oh. Yeah, Dad.
Father, in your hands I commend my spirit. I like this right here. It says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Y'all say that. Gave up the ghost. One more time. Gave up the ghost. Jesus took care of us. Amen. When he didn't take care of it for us, they didn't take his life. He gave it up. Amen? So look, he looked forward to being reunited with his Father. And at that moment that Jesus died for you and me, he became the true Passover sacrifice for all of us. Matter of fact, if you're here today and you think you've gone too far, you haven't. If you're concerned, you're not gone too far.
Staring out into the night, trying to hide. Going to a place where regret for you, love don't cost a thing. That I don't know why. Promise me, give me another try. Well, I'm going home to a place where I belong. Well, your love has always been enough for me. Well, I'm running from the one thing you got me all wrong. I don't relive this life you chose for me. Though these places and these faces are getting old, well, I'm going home. The miles are getting longer, it seems. The closer I get to you, not always been the best friend for you, but your love remains so true that I don't know why. Promise me you give me another try. Well, I'm going home to a place where I belong, where your love has always been enough for me. I'm not running from, oh, I think you got me all wrong. I don't regret this life you chose for me. But these places and these faces are getting old. Be careful what you wish for, 'cause you just might get it all. You just might get it all, and then some you don't want. Be careful what you wish for, 'cause you just might get it all. You just might get it all. I'm going home to a place where I belong, and the love has always been enough for me. I'm not running from, oh, I think you got me all wrong. I don't regret this life you chose for me. Oh, these places and these faces are getting old. Oh, these places and these faces are getting old. Well, I'm going home. I'm going home.
We are healed by your sacrifice. And the life that you gave, we are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed.
By his wounds,
what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
The cross. The cross was not the end. The cross was the beginning. Somebody say praise God. The cross was not, I'm going to say it again, the cross was not the end, the cross was the beginning. Look at somebody and give them a high five. Tell them, hey look, it was the beginning. Go ahead. Make sure you don't hit them in the head, it's dark in here. The cross was not the end, it was the beginning. Oh, let me hang in there. Amen. Told you it was dark in here. Jesus died. Matter of fact, he died the most horrible death. But he went to see death in his worst terror so he could say, I've been tempted like you are. I've been through pain like you've been through. I've been through hurt, but I overcame. They buried him in a barred grave. They sealed the tomb. They set a watch. All that was there was just to keep the disciples out. Because nothing, y'all say nothing, nothing, one more time, say nothing, nothing could keep him in, praise God. Nothing could keep him in, praise God. He overcame death, he overcame hell, he overcame the grave, praise the Lamb of God. He can help you overcome any problem. He can help you overcome any bondage.
Came, stole my mind, wrapped my soul in chain. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me, crying in the night, carries me away. Set me free. Finds me crying in the rain, all alone with my demons I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark ones shriek, they scream his name. Is this the one they say will set the captive free? Jesus, rescue me, set me free. The chains are falling, save my
Yes, come out. Come out. Yes, hallelujah. He set me free. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let me ask you a question. Isn't it awesome to see the devil get his tail kicked? Everybody to stand. God knows better than anybody. This is the last days. He's trying to show us. He's trying to tell us. He's trying to let us see. These are the last days. The Bible says in the last days, men were literally going to be getting their heads cut off for their testimony of Jesus Christ. There's no telling how many hundreds of Christians that have died over in the Middle East in the last few months because of their testimony of Jesus Christ. The Bible's showing us and telling us, and it would be a crazy thing to think that it's not happening. The Antichrist is setting up reign. Today, on Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, every head bowed, every eye closed. Not here to embarrass you. We're not here saying we got a captive audience. Let's get them. We just wanted to put something together to celebrate what Jesus did for us. If you're here tonight or today, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're wanting to accept Him, you're wanting a change. Not just a cute little service on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, but a change. You want to see the devil get whooped like that in your life. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, while nobody else is looking, you just slip up that hand as an act of faith and say, I don't know Him. I don't know Him, and I want to know Him before I leave. One more time, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you want to know Him before you leave. We're not going to embarrass you. You don't even have to leave your seat. Just raise that hand. Maybe you're here today and you knew Him. You had it going on, and life happened. And as life happened, it happened so fast that you really couldn't keep up with what was going on. And you find yourself slipping further and further and further away from Him. And today you're sitting here and you're saying, praise God. Yes, I didn't have to raise my hand. I know Him. But now I ask you, are you where you used to be? Do you still feel that peace, that harmony, that assistance from God? Or has life just drained you? And you can say, you know what? I really need to get back into a position where God and me can work together. And I can be blessed and I can be a blessing to others. If I'm speaking to you right now and nobody's looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, if you know you're not where you should be or where you used to be, but you want to be, again, you don't have to come up here. We're not going to make a spectacle out of you. Would you just slip up that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Hands are going up all over the place. Thank you, God. Help me to get back into a place where I feel your peace. Help me get back into a place where I feel your presence. Help me get back into a place where I know that I can run free in you. Life doesn't have to defeat me anymore. I've got Jesus. Maybe you're here today. You know him. But you've gotten tired. Just tired. You're hearing these voices in your head saying, it's okay. It's okay. And Satan would like just to rock you to sleep. And what I'm saying today is it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. As long as you're breathing, God wants to use you. As long as you have breath, God has something for you to do. As long as you're able to move those lips, God's got something for you to do. As long as you can move those hands, God's got something for you to do. It's not a time to lay back. It's a time to move forward. If I'm talking to you today, when nobody else is looking around, everybody close, you raise that hand again. Just not going to make a spectacle out of you. I just need God to use me like never before. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Hands are going up. I'm ready. I'm ready. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. You can stay right at your seats. Now, if you feel a need to come to this altar, you come. We're not going to stop you. You feel a need to come to this altar, you come. We'll pray with you. The altar's always open. Always. 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 You want to come to this altar and pray, you come and pray. But I'm going to say a prayer, and I want y'all to repeat it with me, all of you. And again, those that want to come to this altar and pray, please come. Don't let anything stop you. Come. There's a peace when you can get this altar. There's a peace that passes all understanding. Rest of you, I want you to repeat after me. Remember, you can still come to this altar. Anybody wants to, you come. It's open. Somebody will pray with you. What rest of you, I want you to pray out. Repeat after me. Lord, I need you to touch me like never before. I'm ready to be used by you in a powerful way in this last day. You've done too much for me to turn back now. I ask you to help me have the necessary boldness and the necessary sensitivity to your spirit. Use me now in the name of Jesus. Forgive me if I've done anything that pushes me back. Let me move forward in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands this way. Pray for these folks. Minister life in the name of Jesus. Touch your Lord. Touch your Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Like a fragrance after the rain, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
hit all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
let all heaven and earth proclaim. Put your hands in the air. We'll all pass away, but there's something about that. How many have ever heard of the guy who founded the Satanic Church, Anton LaVey? He's alive. Anton LaVey wrote the Satanic Bible and wrote Satanic Practices. He was on a nationally televised talk show many years ago, and the speaker or the host asked him, what does the name Jesus mean to you? And he said, the name of Jesus means absolutely nothing. And about that time, an old man sitting in the back, a Christian, back of the audience, stood up and said, Jesus! 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 Anton LaVey lost his composure. The man kept hollering, Jesus. Anton LaVey could not even be talked to. They had to go to 15 minutes of commercials because the man lost it. Let me tell you something. When you don't know what else to say, when you don't have any idea what to say, there's always one thing you can always say. It brings peace. It brings power. It brings results. That's all. Say it. Sing that song. Sing it.
Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Thank you, Lord. God is awesome. All the time. I hope God has blessed you this morning as much as He blessed us to be able to do this. It's awesome. God's awesome. God's awesome. Matter of fact, I can't think of anyone more awesome than God. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, I thought about it. I heard somebody this morning say, the man at the gate called Beautiful was asking for alms, and they gave him feet. Jesus gave him feet. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So instead of alms, he got feet. God's awesome. All the time. Brother Wayne, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?